We all know that we read our word, we as we're reading, we notice that God has a lot of names, doesn't he? There's a lot of different names by which God calls himself and by which we call him, right? There's dozens, actually. I did a count, but I forgot how many it was now. But there was quite a few of them. But most of them have something to do with who God is, what God does by his attitudes and aspects of what he does for us, right? Can anyone name one of the names of God?
Yahweh.
I'll stop right there. This man? There. That was the one, actually the one I thought I'd have to go through a dozen to get somebody to say that. Jehovah Jireh. See that? How I planned that out? Okay. Yeah. An extra helping of food for that man. We've all heard Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh mean? Is that what? What?
The Lord my provider.
Seem to be some doubt here on what it means. What say we take a look?
All right.
And where do you think we should take a look? Word of God, right? Where that comes from is in Genesis. If you have your Bibles, your phones, your tablets. Genesis 22, and we're going to start at verse 12. Everybody has certainly heard this story. It's the one where God tells Abraham to sacrifice his son, right? You know, God doesn't ask much, does he? You know why God can ask much? Because he gives much.
Amen.
Genesis 22:12. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God. You have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up into the thicket. He saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." All right? So Jehovah Jireh, what the actual meaning is, the Lord will provide. Now that, I hate to say, is a terrible translation. By saying God will provide, we are actually limiting God. Let me expound on that before I get hung here. I love it when everybody goes, Do we have any English majors other than Eddie Medrano? Yeah, Southwest Detroit English. What does the word will mean? The sun will come up tomorrow. Let me ask you a question. Does that mean that it's already come up? If I stand here and say the sun will come up tomorrow, has it come up right now? It's something that's going to happen in the future. So what we're saying is God hasn't done anything yet, but he is going to do something. And that's a lie. That is not truth. It's hard to take some of the thoughts out of the actual Hebrew and to bring it into English, right? But if we stop and think, what I'm trying to show you tonight is God has, or today, not tonight, this morning, God has already provided. It's not that he will, he already has provided. We just don't know it until God opens our eyes at the time that we need it. The story I just read, he sent Abraham up to sacrifice his son, correct? Do you think it was by luck that there was a ram there? Do you think at the last minute God has a magic bag of tricks and pulled out a ram and stuck it into the thicket? No, somewhere along the line, some farmer had to start some sheep up there, had to bring some farm animals up there. Some of them got away, right? And don't you think, let me ask you a question. How did that ram get stuck there? It was just out one day wandering around. Does everybody agree that God directs us? Does God direct animals?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. That ram couldn't have been hung there too long. It would have died of thirst. It would have died with nothing to eat. There's wolves prowling around. It was defenseless. It would not have lasted long, so it could not have been there long. God had it perfectly timed out from generations of people that brought sheep that ram would be there and available at that time. It seems miraculous and suddenly to us, but if we stop and think, it wasn't. Look at all the things that had to happen for this sudden event, right? It's sudden because we're just now seeing it. It's not suddenly because God just decided to do this. This is something that's been planned before this world was put into motion. Turn with me. 1 Kings chapter 17. There's a couple stories here I wanted to take a look at. 1 Kings 17, let's start at verse 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith ravine, east of Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerith ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Is that a miracle? Absolutely. Is that God's plan? Do you think this is something that just subtly happened? It seems like it. How many of we read this story and it's like, oh, wow, God. What does God say? God directed the ravens. God spoke to the... Can God speak to animals? Certainly. No, he's not Dr. Doolittle by any means, but he's the creator of everything. He can speak to the stones. He can speak to the weather, right? Because he created it. But he had already spoke to them, and it doesn't say when. This was before he even got a hold of Elijah and sent him out there. He'd already directed the ravens to do this, right? That's how far back the planning goes. And let's look at the second part. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. I've read that many times, but it never hit me. Where'd he get the bread? What, Jack's Bakery in Jordan? Where did he get the meat? Ravens do not barbecue. Last I knew of, even Texas ravens do not barbecue, all right? So someone somewhere had to be making bread and meat, right? Just by coincidence, of course. Now, God had already planned this out. For that person to live in that area, to be a great baker, and that morning cook. And it doesn't say that they got the meat and the bread from the same place, right? It said morning and evenings. I've seen, sir, we have a lot of crows and ravens around our house, and I've seen quite a few of them. Never once have I seen a Rolex on one of them. So how did they know morning and evening? Again, God had all of this planned out. Eons ago, think of all the things that had to happen for this one little event. And all Elijah could think, my God will provide. He had already set it up. He had already provided everything. Most of the time when we're praying for something, God's already answered that prayer. Amen. Might not be the way we want, but he's answered that prayer and got everything working. I'm not saying don't pray. That's showing our dependence on God, right? God loves it when we talk to him. Not come to him with our laundry list, our God-do list, but to talk with God. But you know what's more important than talking to God? Listening to God. What's more important than listening to God? Doing what God says. Thank you, Donna. All right. We'll stay in the same book here. And let's go to the next paragraph, verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. There had been no rain. A brook not running. It had to not rain for quite a while, right, for this to happen. Then the word of the Lord came to him, to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed. You didn't know God was a director. You thought he was a producer. We must think he's a producer. We're always going to him and ask him to produce something for us. Right? I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he had already directed this widow, it says, right? So does that mean he talked to her? That she knows what to do and what's going on? Let's see. So he went there, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. Just by coincidence, she decided to go gather sticks at the exact same time that he walked up there, right? He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, oh, well, you get me some water, bring me a piece of bread. And she's going away again, bring me some meat, I need a sandwich. The widow turns around and says, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and then die. Doesn't sound like God had spoke to this lady, does it? Didn't sound like she knew what God's plan was. But yet we just read God directed her. That doesn't mean when he's directing something, he's not telling the people. He's using the people. God does not have to tell us. Don't we hate that when our kids are small, we tell them to do something? Why? Why, Dad? Why? Because I'm your daddy. Go do it and shut up. But we do the same thing with God. We want to know God's every move, you know? God is directing the entire thing, right? He's conducting and directing the universe. And this is part of his plan, purpose, and will. She doesn't know it yet. I'm sure we could all have stories about how we were used and didn't know it. I've heard many stories about two people talking and it affected somebody else. Go figure. There again, that's God directing. You're not doing anything, but God is directing that person to be over here to listen to you. But again, God will provide is wrong. God has already provided, as we see in this story, right? All of the things that had to come together for this to happen. Suddenly took an entire creation of time for all of this to come to place. There had to be a town there. There had to be a brook for him to drink of. You think God made the brook the day before? Got a couple people down there with shovels, you know, and a jug of water. Here's your brook. No. That takes a long, long time for a brook to form, right? But God had it ready for Elijah to drink out of. She didn't know about this because she was planning on the end. There's nothing more we can do. There's a drought in the land. It's not that she's trying to commit suicide or anything like that, or she won't go out and get a job. It's a fact that there's a drought in the land. There is no food available. There's nothing out there. Without water, you don't have food, right? What does water represent? Holy Spirit. Without Holy Spirit, everything that doesn't have it dies. So every day, ask for a double dose of the Holy Spirit, right, as you drink your morning water. All she had was a handful of flour and a little olive oil in a jug. How often do we think we don't have enough to do what God asks? Well, God, when I get my house paid, when I get my car paid off, when I get a new job, you know, when... I didn't ask anybody to raise their hands, Eddie. All right. You know, we're always limiting God because we don't think like God. We have limits, God doesn't. What about a person that God would bless with three cars and they don't believe that they can get gas to go in those three cars? Who? God gave you three cars, but he's not going to give you gas.
Is that somebody we know about?
No, this is hypothetical. All right, as a lady was doing this, she thought she barely had enough. She didn't have enough for herself, right? Now we're going to see a double blessing. Why did he choose this lady? Do you think he knew that she was about ready to starve to death? Do you think that he knew that she didn't have enough? Of course. Why did he do that? To show his glory. Right? Elijah said to her, verse 13, Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me, that you would bring it to me, then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run out until the day God sends rain to the land. It lasted long enough. He provided at the right time, and it lasted for as long as they needed it. Shoes and clothes lasted 40 years in the desert, right? I don't know. That's a good suit. If you can buy. I think Eddie's the only one to get 40 years out of a suit, I think. But again, just think of God had already prepared this to happen. All these events are coincidence. She just happened to be gathering stick for her last meal. When it was all over, and boom, suddenly to her, everything changes. But it really wasn't subtly, if we stop and think of all the things that had to happen to bring her to that moment, to send Elijah there. I would kind of challenge you every time from now on when you read anything, a story of something happening like this, think of what it may seem suddenly, but stop and think of all the things that had to happen to bring it to that point, right? Let's look at another one. I could go through the Bible all day long and show you examples, but let's take a look at a few. Every time from now on when you read this, think in your mind, my God has already supplied my needs. When Jesus looked up and saw John 6, verse 5. John 6, verse 5. And when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jack's is closed on Sunday. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus knew what was going to happen way before this doubting person asked, "What are we going to do? We've never been like that. God, what are you going to do?" Anybody ever said there's nothing can be done? Huh? Got quiet. Of course we have. But again, God knows that. You know, we are not perfect. We're limited in our thinking, but we got to take the limits off of God. When you're talking about God, you're talking about Bob, I got a lot of limits, right? It's okay to talk about limits. But when you're talking about God, there is no limits. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of us to have just a bite." You know, there was 5,000, actually it was a lot more. It was 5,000 men. Some had their wives, children, and so forth with them. So there was probably anywhere from 20,000, 30,000 easily there listening. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But how far will they go among so many?" All right. You see doubt there? But at least he's seen an opportunity. Here's something. You know, God can work with a little bit. You know, "Well, I don't have much to offer." You have enough to offer. "Well, I can't witness. I just got saved yesterday." You have the best witness. Go tell them what God did to you yesterday. A small boy with five, it was carrying this fish and bread. Now, they were close to a town. Jesus would usually take them just outside of a town to have enough room to spread out, right? This boy was probably, it didn't say that his parents were there. I doubt they were. He wouldn't have been carried that. They probably had sent him into town. Now, I'm reading this into it. Into town to buy some fishes and loaves, right? And he's just minding his own business, you know, walking along. And here's this big crowd, 15 pounds. What's going on over there? You know, a little boy is going to see something happening. He's going to go check it out, right? If there's nothing happening, he'll make something happen. But he goes over there to see what's going on. But he didn't know that was God's plan. That he just happened to be going to the store that day. He just happened to have what God needed to work with, right? He just happened to be at that place at that time. All these coincidences, all these things that had to be worked out before Jesus sat down and did this miracle, right? He had already provided. He even said it himself at the very beginning. Didn't Jesus say? For he already had in mind what he was going to do, right? God already knows what he's going to do, and he don't have to share it with you. Just be obedient, and it's going to work out, right? Did the little boy say, hey, buddy, I don't know who you are. You can't have my fishes and loaves. That might have been their food for a month or a week or something. We don't know. That wasn't a lot of food, was it? He's taking it home to the family. Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place. They sat down. Around 5,000 men were there. Again, most of them had their wives with them, had children with them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. You ever see the pictures of like Jesus breaking the bread and handing it to the disciples, and they're walking around and they're passing it down? That's not what the word says. Jesus walked among every one of them. Read this again. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and Jesus distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Jesus handed it out. Here you go. Here you go. Here you go. 15,000-20,000 people, right? He wasn't afraid of work. Scares me, but he wasn't afraid of work. And as much as they wanted. No limit. You hungry? You know, Eddie, give Eddie an extra slice. What the heck? And the same thing with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Right? Waste not, want not. Have we ever heard that? That's biblical. Waste not, want not. Right? So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets with the fish and loaves that were left over. Imagine how much these people ate. And there was all 12 baskets. The boy started out with a little, like, picnic basket with five small barley loaves were like smaller than a sub sandwich. I looked that up. And the fish were not big fish. You know, these aren't sword fish, right? He's just got them in a small kind of container of some kind. He fed these 15,000-20,000 people or more and had 12 left over. What do you think he'd done with that 12 baskets that were left over? Doesn't say. I'm asking a question. Who took them home? Why? Good point. And I would have to agree. He could have took them. Do you think he could have took them and we got some provisions to do tonight for the disciples and stuff and till we get to the next town? Do you think that could have happened?
Yeah.
No. No. Remember, anytime I ask a question, I got something planned. Yeah. You don't want them disciples to get fat and lazy. Why I say this? Let's look further into the Word of God. Anytime we have a question about the Word of God, where do we go to look at? The only way to discern the Word of God is through the Word of God. The only thing to judge the Word of God against is the Word of God. Let's see what God says and why I say what I just said. Luke 10. Luke 10. starting at the beginning of Luke 10. This is where Jesus sends out the 72, his 12 disciples, plus he had 72 close followers beside his disciples, or counting his disciples, right? And he sends them out. These are people that he trusted, people that were filled with the Spirit and so forth, right? After the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to go into every town and place where he was about to go. They were like his point people, right? He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go," now listen to this, verse 3, "go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals." If he doesn't, what is he telling? He is going to provide. If you take something, well, I know my God's going to provide, but just in case, I'm going to make a jelly sandwich, you know, put in my pocket here. We have never done that, have we? Well, just in case God doesn't provide, or in case it doesn't come through in time, maybe I ought to do this. But by the fact that he told them not to take anything with them, that they will be, God will have already set up a provision for them somewhere. That's why I say you were right that he probably gave them to the little boy. What a double blessing again, just like in Elijah's case, right? The little boy that gave up something got more back. How many people here have given up their lives? And I guarantee that you're going to get more back. And I guarantee, too, you cheated God. Most of you, I know, you didn't have a great life to give him. I wasn't looking at Eddie or somebody sitting close to him there across the way, Fred. But as we're reading the Word, from now on, as you're reading the Word, think of everything that had to happen beforehand for this suddenly to happen, right? It seems to us that God works suddenly, but really, it's always been in the works. He not will provide, he has already provided. But it wasn't time to give it to us yet. When you give your kids your Christmas present, did you make it right then? No, it could have been bought weeks before, right? You had to have a job to make money to buy that, right? You had to have a Christmas tree to put it under. Think of all the things it done. But the kids look, start ripping it apart, right? All I know is they run down the stairs and suddenly all these great things are here. They don't think of everything that it took to bring to that spot. And we're reading God's word from now on. Think about that. Everything that happened. Here's a fast one. I'll end with this one. I got a ton of them. Any story you read from now on, think of it in this context. A friend of Eddie's, David. "Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on the sword and the tunic and tried walking around. But he was not used to them. I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." He was trying to give him something that God didn't want. He was trying to protect him. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand. A staff, that wasn't a weapon, was it? That's just for walking, studying yourself. Then he took his staff in his hand. He chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch, and He chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. And we know the outcome, don't we? So, in other words, he was already approaching. There was a brook that divided the two armies, right? The Philistines come there to attack. Why did they happen to just choose that spot? Why did there have to be a brook there? It looks like it would be a little bit harder to fight over and across a brook, run across it and everything, and it does. But God had provided and set up that area. Where else are you going to find? In a desert, you don't find stones. It's all sand. A smooth stone is only made through the turmoil of water washing and tumbling it, right? Have you ever seen stones like, do they come in all sizes? What a coincidence that he was able to just reach down and pick up five stones that were perfect in size. Anyone that's ever had a slingshot, anybody ever here have a slingshot as a kid? To be accurate, you have to use the same size stone each time. Because if you get a bigger stone, a smaller stone, it's going to change everything. It's like putting different amounts of gunpowder in a bullet before you shoot. It's going to change everything. But just by coincidence, he was by a brook. He didn't ask God for anything. He grabbed his staff and started running and then just retched down because he knew God had provided, right? The stones were there. How long do you think it took to prepare that brook? How long do you think it took to set up, to make that army stop where he wanted them to stop? Right? One more. I won't even read this one. We all know this one. Samson killed the 5,000 Philistines. What did he use? Jawbone of a donkey. It says he was charging the 5,000. And he retched down and picked up the jawbone of a donkey. What a coincidence. He happened to, when he needed, be standing by the jawbone of a donkey. Do you know that a donkey has one of the strongest jaws there are? A donkey can eat anything and will eat anything, but they live off shrub. They don't have any type of canine. They have molars that are about that big. The jawbone is huge on a donkey for grinding and chewing. That is a perfect weapon. That weapon could go through any helmet made at that time. And just by coincidence, somebody had a donkey, and that donkey happened to die there. And the timing, once those bones got old, they were no longer any good. They were brittle and useless. It had to be fresh. Now, what are the odds are that something didn't carry that off? What a coincidence all of this is. But think, all of this was prepared beforehand by God to suddenly for him to be able to reach down and grab. What he needed was right there waiting for him, right? God will provide? No, God has already provided. It's us that don't see that provision sometimes in our own lives, right? I know we could all go around and talk about different stories, but think about that for the next little while. About anytime you read the Word, think of all the little things that had to happen for this incident to take place. That's more amazing than the miracle sometimes, that all these things work together to do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Instead of God will provide, we're now on going to say, my God has already provided, right?
Amen.
Amen? All right, thank you. Brian, would you close us in prayer? We have next week, Rico, you're up next week, aren't you? All right, Rico and his lovely wife are going to be up next week. We're getting a dynamic duo, a double blessing. Amen? All right, and we have prayer down front. Go ahead and close this, Brian.
Right.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you for Bob, Lord, and thank you for the word today. Lord, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to fill us up and to be with us today, Lord God. Fill that sanctuary as we come and worship you, Lord God, in spirit and truth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 And again, thank you, Don and Carol, for breakfast.